Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Nobody panic.
Hello, welcome.
I'm Stephen.
I'm Tessa.
And this podcast, whatever I say at the beginning, this podcast is a series about how to help you through your life while we learn with you.
It's really life. For us. You're a bonus.
Yeah, thank you for being here.
Thank you for being part of it. Yes, it's a sort of, let's get your shit together.
Yeah, come on, guys. And this episode is about how to tell if you're ready to get a pet. Because I think lots... I thought I was ready to have a dog when I was about 16. Wasn't.
No, no. Easy to believe. Easy to think you are.
The overwhelming desire to like, oh, so cute. Oh, look. Over like, oh, it won't have any room. Is, you know, it's quite hard.
There's a popular reductress tweet.
Oh, yes.
Doing the rounds.
Yes.
Woman... ploughing ahead with plan for a dog despite not being emotionally or financially stable.
Perfect.
That's how we all feel.
If you don't follow the Reductress already, go on Twitter, follow Reductress. It's a piss take of women's magazines. And
but it is also it's sometimes it's on the nose.
Oh God, it is, yeah.
It's too on the nose.
Too on the nose. But I don't think I don't think I've ever not at least cracked a smile.
Oh yes. I'm smiling through it while being very seen.
Oh, constantly seen.
So seen.
Yeah,
I really
Jesus.
Enjoy that one that says, I am enough, and if we're honest, too much. Which I feel very seen.
And my absolute classic favourite, which is how to be a lady in the sheets and a haunted clock tower in the streets.
Yeah, it's good. It's
genuinely
good
absurd
content.
Business.
But I think that thing of like, oh, I know what will fill the gaping hole.
Yeah.
A dog.
A cat.
That's the answer.
Even a fish is quite high maintenance. All of these things.
I think I would like a cat.
Okay, let's talk about that.
Okay.
But not now,
okay.
Because we're going to do our adult things first.
Okay.
Hey, if you're just listening, I don't know why I'm thinking we have loads of new listeners.
This is
we
the
don't.
Time they'd arrive.
Yeah, now. If you're listening, if you're not a regular listener, we do an adult thing that we've done each week. And there is no adult thing too lame or too complex.
For example, here's mine. Standing up taller.
Right?
See?
That's
the
good.
Bar is low,
low
everyone.
Bar. Or high if you're you, because you're trying to sound tall.
Basically, I told you about going to the physio.
Yes, you did.
And
because you've got no muscle in one of your legs.
Correct. And then did I tell you about having the ultrasound?
No.
You get an ultrasound.
I've had an ultrasound and it's all like, and they're like, oh, that's a bad muscle. You're like, how can you tell?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It doesn't look like anything.
I had a full one on my tummy.
Oh.
In a very
do you
sort
have a baby?
Of, no, nothing in there as it turned out. But
shame.
I was like, I said to her, like, this would be the time to find out, wouldn't it?
God.
It'd be a shock for us all. Oh, she didn't laugh. But she did say, gosh. And she kept saying gosh. And right. I was like, come on, what's the issue? And she was like, well, you don't have a single abdominal muscle. And I was like.
Don't say that. What? How can you not have an abdominal
muscle? She honestly said, I actually don't know what's keeping you up. Like, that's what she said to me.
That's incredible.
Yes. So
how have I not noticed somebody next to me who's being held up by their bones? It would that feels like you would be standing in a really weird way.
I do stand
don't.
In a really weird way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think maybe you're just immune to it. But I stand with one leg completely crooked and with one leg completely faced outwards.
That is weird.
Yeah, I know. Okay. And I do it, I've discovered, on my physio
up.
Journey, because I'm compensating. Well, one leg, because I'm making myself sound like Tiny Tim, but like,
yeah.
I have one leg bigger than the other.
Yeah.
So I'm like, compensate, and I've got this really...
Oh, I've noticed that.
Right.
Old Tessa Big Leg. That's all they
a massive right leg. And I've got this really crooked spine, like an S shape.
Oh, like a scoliosis thing?
Yeah. Oh. Like really, not, no, but like.
Oh, right. You said yes, so you could understand why I thought you meant yes.
You can. You know what? With retrospect, we can see why. Like a backwards, really, really curved. Like a backwards S.
But not enough to have to see I have the brace.
Not enough for a brace. Okay. Though they did say you can, she was like, it's also, they were like, you can pursue down the brace route if you like.
I'll
like,
do it.
Yeah, I'm gonna get involved.
You can't take that off like you can with Invisalign.
Whatever.
Well, you can, but you can't just like, it's quite a...
It was implied like, it was a when I fancied sort of a brace.
Yeah, but it's not like a casual thing. It's just like, oh, I'll just pop it off. Like it's a thing. I think it's like you have to... get someone to help you do it and stuff. So you would have it on for that's a good thing.
Wow. Okay. I imagine.
I think I'm speaking from absolutely no place of knowledge.
Okay.
I think okay. I may have like had a dream once that okay. I had scoliosis. Right. If anyone okay. has it, message us because it's a thing like it's yeah. really common.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously, you don't have it.
She suggested the brace, but I imagine the brace was, you know,
it's a bit of fun.
Bit of fun. Bit of fun when you fancied. She was sort of like, she was really sort of tapping, you know, someone like taps, being like, I don't really don't know what to do here. Because you're obviously not
please
like.
Please do a sit up.
Yeah. She was like, I couldn't. I had to like basically hold, I had to like like launch, use my own momentum to get
Tessa,
up.
Tessa, this is quite bad.
I know. Okay. She kept just being like, gosh, every time I did a move. And then like to like raise things, I have to basically like hold myself on and then like throw myself over.
Okay.
So I've been trying to do all these little tiny boring exercises to attempt to get some abdominal strength.
Oh, good.
And trying to stand with my feet facing forward. And I've been to see various like deep tissue massage people.
Oh, right, yes.
To like release some of the tension everywhere in an attempt to, and basically they were saying, as those of us following my splits journey, they were like, what you're doing is...
Which is cruelly cut short.
Cruelly my dreams.
When you realised that you had no muscles in your right leg.
Yes.
But how amazing, if you hadn't have done your splits journey, you'd be walking around thinking that you had muscles.
I know, and just that
like
I was...
Like an idiot.
And I am just incredibly weak. Anyway, she's like, if you just keep stretching... and like being like, oh, I've done my stretches. Why is there still a problem? Why am I still in pain? It's because like a piece of blue tack. Imagine you found like a cold piece of blue tack and you just like attempted to make it into something. It would just pull apart.
Okay.
But if you like, you've got to roll it in your hands
warm
first.
It up.
Warm it up. And now it's like, ooh, we're making things. She's like, you are a rock hard, cold, ice cold piece of blue tack. Okay. And you're just attempting to stretch yourself, but you're basically just breaking.
Oh,
and
God.
You've got to release all of those
my
things.
God.
Yeah, so I basically got to rebuild myself. I've got to take myself
apart. So your adult thing is you're rebuilding all of your muscles in your body?
Yes. yes.
Pretty adult.
Yeah, thanks. So giving it a good go.
I think that's very impressive.
I'm trying to rebuild myself from the inside.
I can't wait. I love how the splits journey has become now rebuild all my muscles in
yeah,
my body
Yeah, it's got
journey.
Out of hand.
So looking forward to continuing that journey with you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you everyone for being part of it. Thank you.
God. My one's not as extreme, but I don't think any... I don't think
well,
we've
it
ever
began
done
with just
extreme.
I was trying to stand up taller.
Of course, yeah, but I think we've that once you've let the Pandora's box out.
Sure, sure, sure.
Standing up taller, sure, but you are also retraining every muscle in your body. That's, you know.
Yeah.
That is it, which is
if it's at all helpful for anyone, they said to keep a scarf or a pillow or anything, roll it up and put it in the bottom of your spine when you sit on the chair.
Okay.
In an attempt to like force yourself forward.
Don't know.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm going to do it too. In an attempt to,
because I have a bad posture. That's why my shoulder's gone. Apparently, so
but you want it rolled up like it's a you know a ball.
Oh, yeah.
And then
oh, it does feel quite pleasant.
Yeah, like it feels like something's supporting. You're like, ooh,
oh,
everyone's on. Oh,
well, everyone's on board.
yeah, and then right, when I was standing upright, I've been trying to hold my own wrist like Claire Foy in The Crown.
Okay, did the physio say that? I was just
no, that's me. That's and that's a bonus. Straight.
One for you, physio. One for me.
Little
gift for myself, thank you.
Yes. So it's one from professional and one just a good idea I've had. So
okay, I'm looking for that's fun.
Yeah, so there we go.
Okay, that looks lovely. Very and chilled out.
Thank you.
It yes. doesn't.
Okay. And yours,
mine,
please?
Historically, my kind of loungewear.
Oh, God.
has been like old t-shirts.
Where are we going?
Where Who's are we going? I'm regrowing my loungewear okay. all over my body. No, historically, loungewear has been old t-shirts from my youth, my old PE kit at one point.
Gosh.
Well, like, you know, like a school, like one of those, like, it was like a baggy polo shirt.
And your sports yeah. stuff. And your shin pads.
Yeah. yeah. No. Sorry, shin just pads. Just like an old big top that I used to wear for like netball matches and stuff. I don't know, hoodies from uni when I stole someone's like Team Durham, the big sports gang's jumper, and then never gave it back. And I never was a part of that sports group, but I wore it anyway.
Oh, every day.
Just like, and then just basically stuff that is a bit shit and not, I wouldn't wear out the house. But the thing is, I think that's fairly normal. You've got like your kind of rubbish pajamas, or whatever, and then you've got like two pairs of really nice pajamas. You're like, oh, this is for a special occasion, and then you never actually wear them.
Oh, correct, never.
You see where it's coming. So I got rid of every bit of loungewear that I wouldn't be, and it wasn't loungewear that I wouldn't be, that I would be embarrassed, sort of like popping down to the shops in, mm-hmm. and replaced it with real cheap, like yoga pants, track pants, not actual basically H&M have got these like £6 track pants in an array of different colors, and like t-shirts that are like £5 I think, and I just went and got like a couple of those. I got my parents bought me a couple of nice sets of pajamas for Christmas, and rather than make them nice, I wear them
lovely. Okay.
And now I don't have like three drawers full of shit clothes. I've got one drawer which is full of nice pajamas, so whenever I'm like, it's time for pajama time, which is
luckily
the whole day,
often
every night, then it's like I'll wear these, rather than like just that subconscious feeling of which piece of shit should I put on now, which yes. is the least holes in, and what if the Tesco delivery man arrives and I look like
Yes. Over the winter period where I had not had on, I'd had on the same, I'd been sleeping in, then getting up for the day, then going back to bed in the same.
What do you think these are? I've got track pants on that I slept in.
Quite right.
Absolutely.
Quite right. You look good though.
I look lounge.
You look ready to lounge.
Yeah.
But I did think to myself on day three, I thought it is hard to have much self-respect.
That's the problem, yeah.
Inside this jumper.
Yeah. Yes, that is true. And I think if I feel like a bit nice, like I've got like a nice dressing gown now and nice slippers, and I'm like, and by nice, again, I don't mean expensive. I just mean like fucking matching. Mm. I was wearing these lovely slippers, that novelty slippers that my friend got drunk and bought me, which were like dolphins. No, whales with like silver water coming out their blowholes. And they looked mental. And then I was like, cool, they can be for fun. But then I want some classy slippers as well. That I'm like, I'm just a classy woman.
Yeah.
Padding around my house, making a peppermint tea, you know.
Yeah.
Doing some work in my pyjamas now doesn't feel like, oh, you disgusting slob. It feels like I'm in my loungewear. I've updated from PJs to loungewear. That's basically what it is.
Fantastic move.
Yeah,
I support it 100%.
It's taken me till age 30 to figure out how to do that.
Well, it's tricky.
It's tricky, right? Right,
it's
okay.
It's about self-respect.
Right, so.
Let's go, baby.
Let's go for it. So I got a very nice man called Arthur Thomas, got in touch with me recently, and he works for the International Fund for Animal Welfare, which is basically a global...
A FAO.
That's how he says it. A global animal charity, conservation charity, which basically works to protect animals in their home, wild animals and pets all around the world. For example, one of their current campaigns is tackling puppy farms, which we've heard about. Have we all heard about that? Does anyone else watch Paul O'Grady for the Love of Dogs? No one? The illegal pet trade, which is basically breeders who... Basically, there's been a big boom in buying... buying pets, dogs, cats, any sort of pet, online, Gumtree, Facebook, through like a sort of website that looks like it was set up in the 90s. And you're like, oh, that's cheap for a cockapoo. I'll just get it. And you don't do any research into what the who the breeder is. Mm-hmm. And puppy farms are absolutely dreadful. Often they'll like stud a dog for years and years and years and years and years. And this poor dog never sees sunlight, never like is treated horrifically. It's literally just a machine to churn out these little puppies. Puppies who are runts or whatever just get killed. Like really horrible, often quite bad conditions. And the ones that aren't sold are often terminated. So really dreadful. My friend is currently trying to get a dog or thinking about a dog, our friend. And she went to see a breeder recently and was like, yeah, faced with these beautiful little puppies, she was able to go, I'm not sure about where the sort, like what, I'm not 100% sure about this breeder, and you don't want to give money to a breeder who's going to then be like, continue propagating this horrible yes. cycle. But it's not just about dogs, obviously, but there is horrible stories. So I've got tortoise, horrible stories of tortoises being imported, just stacked up in boxes. 90% of them die, but they're so expensive because you can sell them for like 350 quid, 400 quid and upwards, that it doesn't matter if most of them die because the ones that are left can just be shut. Like you can, it kind of pays for itself. Mm. Like really, really awful because, and like the first thing that we're going to talk about is how to make sure you're ready for a pet. Because that is, but you also have to keep in mind that if you can't afford to go to a good breeder, the things that you can just check to make sure that you're not basically funding something that is criminal mm-hmm. and not nice. And it's not, isn't just dogs, it's everything.
I remember those Andrex adverts, you know, they don't make them anymore with the golden retriever. And it was like, oh, how lovely.
So nice.
And then somebody I knew once saw them making the adverts and it was like, oh shit, of course, some person is on the contract for the Andrex puppies. And then there's like 20 of them. You know, that they're just like they're in like a crate. And when one side is like, throw another one in. And of course, they like, whenever they're filming, they just need them to be exactly this size. And so, you know, when you're once you're retired from being an Andrex puppy, of course, you'll know, you go on to, I'm sure,
be rehomed
and live a full and wonderful life. But it's more
on
that
the farm with your auntie.
Some mother is making those puppies.
Yeah.
So there's always enough.
There's a real, whenever humans are involved with anything, quite depressingly, yes. it just becomes not very nice and all about money, doesn't it? Which is horrible. But let's keep it light.
Absolutely. Keep it fresh, keep it light.
Keep it fresh, keep it light. I reckon, so we've got some good advice from IFAO, but also
the International Fund for Animal Welfare.
The first thing is just to decide what sort of pet you could realistically have. So you might have it in your brain that you're like, right, well, I'm going to get a dog. I genuinely believe if you don't have a garden, a nearby park, and a relatively large flat.
Yes.
That's not the only thing, you know, you need money, there's so many other criteria, but that's your basics. You can't get a dog. You're not allowed a dog.
No.
Because it's unfair, I think. Obviously, if you have like a yard or you don't have a garden, but you live right next to a park and you can, you know, there is basically space for the dog to kind of roam free and feel happy, great. But like, yeah, you have to be really realistic, I think. It's very unlikely that you are probably the sort of person that can go straight in for a dog immediately.
Yes, 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 yes. I think...
Get a plant first.
Try a plant.
They're very complicated, though. Plants. I think plants... I've kept a tortoise alive. Can't keep a plant alive.
Remember when I went to that dog restaurant?
Yes.
I borrowed my boss's dog to go to a dog restaurant one day. And it was the most stressful day of my life. I picked up the dog. Me, my friend, and the dog. Off we went on the tube. And I really loved the dog and the dog loved me. And she used to come to the office every day and I'd walk her. And then I was like, and that once around the block had given me the belief that I was like, totally can take this dog out.
Yeah.
And then we got on the tube and then I just like strode up the escalator with her on the leash and everybody started shouting at me because of course she didn't know that I didn't know you had to hold a dog on the escalator.
Oh my God, right, yeah.
And then we get to have a nice day out at the dog restaurant where people ate, but also the dog could eat at the table. That was the point of the dog restaurant. I doubt it still exists.
Okay.
And then took it home back and I was like, oh, thank God, dropping off the dog. Then the owners had gone out.
Oh,
and then I was like, okay, I guess the dog is just coming with me. And then I took the dog to like the corner shop and I was just like, what do you need? And the dog like took me to the dog treats and I just bought everything. I was like, I don't know what this dog eats. I don't know what to do with it. And then in the pub, it was like, I took it to the pub, obviously. It got pissed. Like it started a fight. It was barking everywhere. I was like, I don't know what you...
Yeah.
And I felt how, I guess, new parents must feel. Because despite living in the countryside and having horses and chickens and a sheep and a lamb in the bottom of the Arga, we didn't ever have dogs. My parents, one grew up on a cattle farm in Alberta and one grew up in deepest North Wales. And they had the idea that like dogs should be like working animals.
I see.
And so we never had
dogs.
You
had that cute cat, didn't you?
Yeah, we had a lot of cats.
He was so cute and he had dribbles.
He was incredibly old.
He was so old. He looked like the puppet Salem. In Sabrina?
Yeah.
When like, you're like, well, that's not a real cat, that's a stuffed puppet. That's what your
that's
cat
That's literally,
like.
The cat was called Solly.
Oh my God, Solly was so cute.
He was born in it.
I used to hold him and then there'd be like a little tiny bit of dribble. It was just like, little cat dribble!
He was really cute. You had to check him that he was breathing. because he just would lie beside the Argo and look completely dead. And he had to go so close. And it's like he was an old toy that like his purr had got so quiet. He had to be so close to hear his purr. Anyway, that was Solly.
Yeah.
And we haven't had a proper animal in the house.
Well, it's different when it's because you're living in your parents' house and you didn't own the horse. Like you did.
No, yeah, you're right.
But
I've
then your parents
never,
are always able
my
to.
My parents, exactly. So whenever it's part of the reason. And also the first time I remember trying to throw a party.
With the horses?
With my horses.
You know, a horse tea party.
Yeah. Me and the horses got round. And no, the first time at university I tried to throw a party, I remember being like, oh my God, why am I so bad at this? Mm. And my friend was like, because your parents did it. You just got to be like, I think the theme is this.
Yeah, and then they did the thing. It's so stressful. I had a dog when I was growing up and it was my job to walk her. But obviously my parents' job to take her to the vet to check when, like, she got mites off like another dog. And also like the first time that she got her period, my parents, before she got spayed, my parents like made little pants for her because obviously they were like, well, I don't know how much she's going to, but like, I didn't have to do any of that.
No.
And I wouldn't know to do that.
You were just
that.
In charge of hugging.
I was just in hugging and like being like, yay. And my parents did all like the kind of bathing and like they admit it, like brushing the teeth and like all of this stuff.
Or knowing that like when you're a puppy, you're not allowed to go on the grass because
the grass.
Your paws aren't strong enough.
Like, yeah.
It's just all this stuff. I'm like,
it's of all the shots and stuff before you can do that.
Yeah.
When we got Alison, my tortoise, me and my sister were living together. My mum came across this like tortoise rescue place. And these tortoises had been rescued from very bad conditions, but they were in the halfway house, just kept in this shed, which is very not good for tortoises. Like they didn't have any UV light, they didn't have any warmth. Like, so my mum was just like, oh, get them out. So she gave them to me and Gina. And the first year I was genuinely the most stressful thing. I can't tell. And they're actually very simple once you know the stuff. So now she's absolutely fine. Like, she's never any stress, apart from once when she ate a kitchen sponge. That was stressful. But then
she get it? And did she eat
the whole climbed
thing?
Up on some, they like climbing. And she climbed up on these shelves. And there was a sponge that I just wiped, like, cleaned the fucking sink with. And then she ate it. And then I was like, well,
the whole thing?
No, like. Like, you know how some people eat like Mars bars and Snickers where they eat all the chocolate off the sides and then they
Who?
Eat like, well, like, you know, people will like eat chocolate bars in like a fun way, like eat crunchies or they like bite all the stuff off and then they eat the middle bit.
No.
Okay. Well, lots That's of people no listening do that. She'd eaten all the way around as if she was just going to keep doing that to like save the fun part in the middle. I don't know
Are
what
we
she
talking
was saving.
Like a dark green top, yellow.
Yeah,
bottom.
Yeah. She'd mainly gone for the yellow stuff. Either way, I thought she was dead. She was just going to die.
Certainly.
So we like rushed her to the vet and the vet was like, ah, she'll shit out. It's like, Jesus Christ, okay.
Yeah.
So they're very hardy things and they are also just very simple. She doesn't follow me around being like, please hug me, or like she doesn't get sad when she's left alone. She actually gets sad if I try and hug her, so
yeah,
she needs to be left alone. Despite all that, I just didn't feel like I was ready to look after her, but it actually has been a really great learning curve and it has really helped. And we were ready and we did have all the
you
stuff.
became ready
yeah.
You just like every day was and continues to be like, oh, Alison's pregnant, she's
And oh, now Alison's she's, reabsorbed her
oh,
egg.
She's reabsorbed her own eggs.
Yeah.
Oh, she's pregnant. There's no male in the house. Oh, she's just decided it.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
That's the thing that can happen.
Yeah, you've just...
Now we have to hibernate her. Hibernating was one of the most stressful things too, because it was like, oh God, well, we haven't done that before. So there's so many things...
It's a bit like an arranged marriage. And sometimes an arranged marriage works...
Absolutely.
Till people live till the end and they're
That's
so happy
it's a
together.
Pervasive cultural practice, because I think... It can be very positive.
It can be very positive. You just learn as you go.
It's and so annoying.
Some people can
to
get
decide.
Married for love and get divorced so many times. I think maybe having the choice taken away from you.
Bit of a relief.
Like, you're like, well, I guess it's you and me.
Yeah.
Let's make the best
let's
of
make
it.
Make it work. Yeah.
And I think so even if you are excited for an animal and now you're panicking because of us, remember that you can. Maybe you'll make a go of it. But
Absolutely.
Just go into it with your eyes open, ready for like, oh shit. I thought there'd be more hugging involved.
Yes.
And there appears to be a lot more shit.
Yes, yes. And I thought you'd like me stroking you, but you don't. If it's a tortoise, for example.
For example, if it's a tortoise, it doesn't give a lot of love back.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
First thing that the International Fund for Animal Welfare say, which I think is a good point, and what we're saying is you have to be prepared. So don't just go, I'm going to get a tortoise and then be like, or I'm going to get a chameleon, or I'm going to get a fish, even a fish, because different fish require different temperatures of water and different changings of different food and different, like, and also different amounts of space. For example, when we got a weather roach, I think it was called, when I was little, and I picked it at a pet shop. Not a pet shop, it was a garden centre. I think it was okay. I think it was fully legit. Anyway, didn't know was the weather roach was part amphibian, so it would shoot up into the surface of the water to get air every like 5 minutes, and it shot up out of the tank, and then my sister stepped on it. So, and then everyone cried for about 7 weeks, and it was like, so I think we kept it alive for a day. I'm saying, like, those sorts of things, even fish can be really tricky.
I do not recommend getting a fish.
Fish are quite fun. Actually, no, what? Fish are fine.
I don't think get a fish.
Okay.
I also
Why?
Don't think...
They're quite... I think they're a good starting pet. If you're like, will I be able to look after a pet?
I feel quite strongly about animals that don't know what you are. And
okay.
To me...
That's most animals.
No, I think
that's
dogs.
Rabbits. Rabbits.
Yeah, I don't think rabbits.
Okay. This is... You're coming real hard on the opinion here.
She's come out of the blocks real hard. Yeah.
So think you should only get a dog?
Basically, yeah.
I don't think horses know that you're a human either. And then when you ride on them, they're like, I genuinely think whenever a human gets on a horse, it's like, here we go. The horse is like, right, well, I guess I have to do this then.
Yeah, but I do also, yes, I hear you. And I guess now that I've decided to die on this hill, I've got to really commit.
Such a strong opinion.
I take it back. I think horses, because you can, when a horse doesn't like being ridden or doesn't like...
Yeah. You know, but
you know, off. Like, yeah. It doesn't want to do the things, like the ones that do the flat racing, whatever. They're having a nice, like, they truly
they're
wouldn't
being
do
very
it.
Very well looked after.
They're being so well looked after than most humans, and also they wouldn't do it if they didn't like it. But I do think a fish does not.
A fish has no idea what it's doing.
Doesn't know.
But that's there's something quite. It's not cruel to have a big tank and a little goldfish in it, because the goldfish is just like, oh, fine. Every second of every day.
I don't think that's true. I think we tell ourselves that so we feel better about keeping a goldfish in a...
I thought they had like a 7 second memory.
No, we just say that so that we don't feel bad about keeping the fish in the tank.
Oh my God. Right, this is rapidly turning into...
God. So this is how the alt-right get into
control. So our advice is, I guess, don't ever get an animal.
It's hard to say.
No, I think if you do some... Look, I haven't done any research on fish. Neither have you, because neither of us... I said neither and neither, then different pronunciations in the same sentence.
Wow.
Because neither of us have ever wanted to get one. So, but when I was growing up, we had fish. The three goldfish that we had were very well looked after, and they lived to be like 8 and 9 and 10 years old. So they were like quite happy, because when a fish isn't happy, it just dies like immediately. It's just like, eh. Yeah. Do some research on fish. Do some research on fish memory, if it makes you feel better. Have a look at the best sort of thing that you can offer. Because I think the most stressful thing when I got Alison and Gina got Gary was that I just spent the whole time being like, is this enough? Like, does she want, and obviously it's never enough. Like, unless you live on an old farmhouse and you have acres of land. It's never enough for an animal, but an animal can be happy in less than that. So that's the first thing, like, which pet is going to suit your needs that you can offer, like in terms of your flat size, your house size, also what you want. Do you want something that will show you affection? Don't get a fish or a tortoise or really sort of a reptile, which is fine if you don't want that. But if you want, like I do, undeniable love all the time, and affection and admiration, if I'm honest.
I think such an important thing is like checking in to be like, what do I need and why?
Yes, because you are also an animal.
And if it's just like just some company, something to come home to say hello, and that would be like a hamster, rat,
fine,
just anything that's in the house to say hello to.
Lovely. Or it's like a starting pet where you're like, right, well, if I can look after a hamster, then I can in the future be more confident looking after a bigger pet. But rabbits are very, very affectionate. I was going to say, if you were thinking like, I want an affectionate thing but not a dog, rabbits are very affectionate. They kind of cuddle you and sit on your lap and whatever. I think a rabbit, like, or even like rats. Oh God, I
also
hate
like
rats.
Ferrets, for example.
Ferrets?
Like Tash seems to...
Our friend's
Tash,
them.
Who was like, oh, a ferret. But then when she got the ferrets, was like, they're the best animals in the
they
whole
world.
They
apparently chuckle when they're happy.
Yeah, apparently they're amazing.
But they also have real issues where they are full escape artists. So they had to ferret-proof their house because they kept finding the ferret in the walls. And then once you do ferret-proof your house, for example, then you're like, fine, I'm laughing. Yeah, the ferret can get in the... They get like behind the bookshelves and are constantly like losing these ferrets.
May I just say,
yes,
the myth that fish have short memories has been debunked by research, which shows they respond to training after months in the wild.
I can't.
While it was previously believed that fish's memory span was only 3 seconds, they now believe they can remember up to 5 months.
Well, okay. I have nothing to say to that. If you have a really nice tank with loads of fun caves for them to
That's
go in.
That's 5 months worth of fun in
That's
there.
That's 5 months worth. Yeah, you can have 5 months. I'd be happy
I've
with that.
I've had 5 months worth of fun.
I've had more than 5 months worth of fun in a tank. The other thing, one of the other points is, can you afford it? Because yes, they are also more expensive than you think, because it's not just the money that you're spending to buy them. It's the vet bills. It's the food. So Alison has this like UVB light, UVA and UVB light, very specialised light. And we were like, nah, it's like 25 to 35 quid. Okay. And then you buy it and then you realise you have to update it every few months. You're like, that's quite a lot of money. And then with the food, it's like, she only eats weeds. You're like, great, but I live in London. There are no weeds. I have to like buy weeds from this woman in Surrey that's like 25 quid for 6 weeks worth of regular weeds. Yes, she draws a little tortoise on the packet as a little tortoise stamp.
What kind of weeds are we talking here?
Oh, things that are called things like shepherd's nose and like, you know, the vicar's butt cheek, like all those sorts of ones.
I'm going to move into weed management.
You should. You could do that. Definitely.
I'll grow some weeds.
Yeah, grow some weeds.
Well, okay.
And then she sends them in a little bag with a little note of what the weeds are, and then in a little box every week, and you buy like a... It's basically, I've got like a weed subscription.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's the most like ultimate modern millennial to be like, have you got a weed guy?
Yeah.
She's
called, for my tortoise.
She's called Sheila, and she draws a little picture of a tortoise on the vicar's butt cheek that I'm getting in.
Yeah, it comes in a vicar's butt cheek. It's but you know, like those things are Alison. Last year, the vet bills were astronomical because she had to get an ultrasound. She had to get like all this stuff because I was just like, well, she's got eggs. And it was every time I went there, it was like 300 quid. So I ended up being like fucking broke last year because of my tortoise.
My friend's dog just ate a piece of Lego, $2,000.
Oh, God, that's so expensive for a piece of Lego.
That's so much.
Shit.
And it's just like, off we go to the vet, I guess.
This is good stuff, though, because you've got to know if you can afford those things. And if you're listening, being like, yeah.
Something our friend has been doing, who has basically had a dog on her vision board for many years, has been making a saving account called The Dog, and has been putting the money in there for not only to buy the dog, but to feed the dog, get the vet bills. This is the safety deposit box called When the Dog Eats the Lego.
Yeah.
So that the money is there ready. And also going to like puppy school. We didn't know that like, hello, Claudia, her dog Heidi, a beautiful miniature toy poodle, has her own Instagram account. Heidi the poodle. Heidi the poodle.
Isn't it poodle named Heidi?
Could be.
Okay.
You have to sign up for puppy training.
Yeah.
And to get into the good schools, you got to put them, like Eton, you got to put them down way in advance.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
It's all this stuff that you're like, oh, whoa, here's a whole new world. I had no...
And also one of the tips that the IFAW say is like, always look at rescue centres before you look at breeders, because that's obviously very helpful. But the other flip side to that is when you get a rescue animal, they may need more care.
Yeah.
But mainly the dog eat the Lego fund. So eat whatever pet you have. I wish I'd done that with Alison, but I didn't know that I was going to get her. Like, having a little, just put a bit of money aside every month.
But you can now move it into Alison's Alison's college fund.
Alison's college fund when she graduates. Yeah, of course.
You can absolutely now have it ready for, you know, move a little account.
Her 21st birthday, like all that
stuff. Yeah, all the good stuff, yeah. You know. Start doing it now.
Okay, yeah. Then the do you have enough time question.
Crucial.
Which, very crucial, especially with dogs, walking, training. Dogs are a bit like being left alone. People are like, yeah, well, I'll leave my dog alone when I go to my job. And you're like, right, that is actually not good for most dogs.
Well, a fascinating thing that didn't occur to me is that with a dog, you can decide whether you want it to be the loving, jumping, oh, she's home, she's home, she's home.
Yes.
But the flip side, and obviously with that comes the extreme high of your dog is in love with you.
And it's greeting you.
And it's greeting you. With that comes the extreme low of can't be left alone for a long time.
Because it gets sad. You know, because it misses you. That's what our dog
eats
is
your
like.
Shoe. Or you can make like a working dog that knows that like it lives here. These are the times that it's left alone. It just sits quietly. Like it's.
But there's no love there.
But there's no true love. There's no true love. It respects you.
It's just so.
But it's never going to eat the shoe, but it's also never going to jump on you because it's so excited to love you.
And there is. Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
No.
I thought you could have both.
I thought you could have both too. We had a dog when I was growing up and Charlie, rest in peace. And we used to set up a little thing where when we were out, she could watch the cars on the main road through the window because she genuinely loved doing that. And then we realized that maybe she was just looking out for us to come back. And then I couldn't think about it because obviously we'd be out of school. My mum and dad didn't, like, self-employed, so they would be in more than normal. But there would obviously be occasions where we'd be out all day. And then just the joy of seeing her would be constantly compounded with, like, the, oh, my God, you've been left alone for 6 hours. And, like, oh.
With no concept that you'll ever return.
You're ever coming back. So you have to think about
it. Oh, it's a lot, isn't it,
like,
everyone?
So if you're somebody who has a 9-to-5 job, that is something you have to think about. Like,
or is the office dog-friendly?
That's true.
Can the dog come with you?
Can the dog come? Also,
yeah, so tip number three, can your dog get a job?
Can your dog get a job? But also any sort of animal, you have to make sure that it's going to fit in with the time that you can give it. Like, you know, for example, we use the example of rabbits. My sister had a rabbit at university and she ended up being the owner. And all the friends were like, yeah, it'd be so cute to have like a rabbit. And then she ended up being the person that looked after this rabbit all the time. She was the one that like... made, you know, spent the most amount of time. She was the one that like cleaned it out all the time, because cleaning out fish is a pain in the ass. You have to do that every week, and when a fish isn't cleaned out, it's the saddest thing in the world, and it's animal cruelty. So clean your fish out. Also, you might have to, if you get the tip here as well, is if you get an animal, you might have to be aware that in those first few months you might have to take more time off work to be with it and to make sure, no matter what sort of animal it is, because you will be both adjusting to your new kind of situation, which I think is important.
My friend Laura got some rescue kittens. Aww. Up through the night with them, feeding them with droppers every 45 minutes.
Oh my God.
Like, fully was...
A teat.
Was
Your friend became a teat.
She was a teat. She was a living teat. You know, like, they couldn't be left alone. Like, she
That's
was
actually
a full...
point three here.
Yeah, oh, sorry.
Become
yeah.
a living teat.
Become a living... You know, she was a full-time mother to these kittens.
God.
I could not want an animal less.
Oh, no. But also, they're great, but like... The benefit of getting it, it gives you a routine, it gives you a schedule, it also gives you something to look after. I find, even though Alison was quite stressful when we first got her, I'm so glad we got her because I feel now like it's just so nice when I'm working and she's just like plodding around next to me. And now
she's
I know.
She's a part of your life.
She's a part of my life and I care about her. And I also feel like there's something other than myself to care about because I'm very selfish and like. But I have to soak my tortoise every day, you know? Didn't know you had to do that. Have to do that for 20 minutes. So it doesn't matter whether I want to watch TV. I've got to soak my tortoise. My tortoise is dry, you know?
Absolutely.
And that is it's a positive. It makes you, I think it makes you a better person if you're able to look after something else other than
yourself.
You're
so right.
I agree that I'm right.
With yourself?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I agree with my own point and I'd like that to be known. Yes. Now, some do's and don'ts. Do try to find a registered animal charity first, because it can be a great way to find a pet and save an animal in need. We have covered that.
Yes, very important, I think.
Don't meet the seller halfway or at a public location, because this could be because they don't want you to know where they live or where the animal has been bred.
Crucial. Go to the
Especially
home.
Especially if it's a puppy.
You want to meet the parents.
Yes,
and they want
to
look like nice
and the
parents.
Parent as well. You need to see the puppy with its mum too.
And everyone look chilled, calm.
Yeah, absolutely. Like when we got Charlie, it was a breeders and they were like kennel club breeders and the mum was with all the little puppies in the place, and she was so like sweet with them, and we watched them for ages, like kind of playing, and you're like, see, this is nice. This is a good situation.
Mm. They probably had an industrial warehouse.
Don't
back.
Say that. Yeah, the dog wasn't. The mother was an animatronic mother.
Yeah, she's the show mother. They just bring her in.
She has wires coming. She was plugged into a wall, but I didn't say anything. So do ensure that all the relevant paperwork is available for when you visit. If you're buying like an exotic pet, like a reptile or a parrot. I haven't mentioned parrots. I don't understand. Like, having a bird, I think, is really fun. But then I get quite upset that they're in cages.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's just my thoughts. If you want a bird, though, get a bird. I think if you've got like a high-ceilinged big old mansion, get a bird.
I think if you aren't an eccentric scientist in a mansion,
don't get a bird.
You can't have a bird.
Okay, fine.
This is my rules.
Okay, good rules.
It needs a lot of places to explore. And then it sits with you when you're having good ideas.
Yes. If the place that you're buying the animal from doesn't offer like registration documents or any sense of where that, for example, tortoise has come from, then that is dodgy. That means the difficulty there is that you want to rescue it. You want to be like, I'll take it away from the horrible man who's, you know, smuggled it in.
Yeah.
So you have to weigh that up with you are just funding it if you do it.
Is there places to report people like that?
Yes. We'll get to that in 1 second.
Okay. Because then maybe you could rescue the individual plus report the organisation.
Yes. Oh, this is awful. Don't buy fish from a seller who offers to send you live fish through the mail.
Hell's bells.
Absolutely don't do that. Jesus, I once bought a fish from a fair because I felt so sad that they were in those little sandwich bags. And then the fish got white spot and killed all my parents' fish. Within like 3 days, all the fish were dead. So I learned my lesson there. Don't agree to pay upfront online because there's loads of like fraudulent online pet adverts.
Yep.
But the thing as well is a thing of like, unless it is your friend who you know and has, you know, their dog has just given birth to loads of dogs and they're like, oh my God, please take a puppy. Don't get it off Facebook, some person you don't know, like being like,
no.
Because it just could be anybody. It could be anything. It's bad.
I think the closer you got can be, you know, either it's a friend or a friend of a friend or, you know, the chain of who this person is really solid. I think the dodgier, listen to your instincts, like the dodgier it looks, the dodgier it probably is.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so if you come into contact with any of these bad breeding people that we're talking about, bad old breeders, there's a website called carryadcampaign.co.uk. It's got like a really great page that has all of the different places that you can report depending on what you found out. So if there's like an immediate welfare threat, your puppy becomes sick or your animal becomes sick immediately after purchase, or like it was bred badly or there's some kind of, then you call the RSPCA. They've got a cruelty hotline. Your local council, if you have a concern about the breeder in general, and then they can deal with the licensing of the breeders. And if the breeder doesn't have proper licensing, then they can shut them down. Also, the Citizens Advice Bureau is, because sales of puppies is covered under consumer law, so you can go to them and get some advice on what where your next step is. And you basically want to make sure that your puppy breeder is a member of the kennel club, because that if they're KC registered, if a breeder looks dodgy and says that they're a member, they're like kennel club registered, that I said it before but I'm going to go back on it, that doesn't mean that the seller or the breeder is trustworthy, because the kennel club registration is just a registry of that there are puppies bred rather than like they're being bred well. So don't, if someone's like, well, it's kennel club, and you're like, well, that's a good, they're good guys.
Oh, but it's not.
It's absolutely not.
Oh, God.
So unlicensed breeders, the local council, cruelty of animals, RSPCA. And there's also loads of really specific numbers and hotlines on carryadcampaign.co.uk that you can go and look at. But like, yeah, that's where you don't just like call an ambulance or something. But do it properly.
Yes.
Call a priest.
Report them to the, you know, because it is illegal.
But to end on a happy note.
Absolutely.
It's the best thing in the world having an animal.
Yes.
And there's so many like benefits, fitness benefits. If you like have a dog, you're like walking it, the benefit of responsibility, also mental health, like having an animal to look after, really, you know, having a pet to stroke, having some sort of affection back, or just looking after something does make you feel like you're a proper adult because you're looking after a thing without having to have a baby, which is probably quite a bit much.
Yes, definitely. There was a study about them bringing animals into an old people's retirement home and the like overnight impact of not only the animals being there, but that everybody had to get up in the morning because they had to look after something.
Oh, it's so nice.
Rather than feeling,
you can make your dog, you can make your dog your own therapy dog as well. Mm-hmm. There's all these courses where you can go on. So if you're somebody who has like a mental health problem, let's say you get panic attacks or you self harm or you can train your puppy or to when it grows up to be a real dog to sit on you or lick you or show you affection when it can sense those certain emotions happening. Things like that.
They're amazing. This is dogs are amazing.
I don't think you
I've can
done do
a full
180
and now I want one.
Of course. I mean, in your Oxfordshire place, you could definitely get one. But whether Tom would hit it with a spade like he does with the chickens, I don't know.
When the cockerels make too much noise in the garden, Dad hits them with a spade. Look. Look, don't report
don't
us.
Don't do that. I want chickens when I'm older. I'm really into it. So I'd like to thank International Fund for Animal Welfare for all the tips. And also, if you're listening and you're like, well, I'm terrified now of getting an animal, you can start small. Start small and then, you know, graduate to a dog when you're older.
Yeah, I think be scared.
Oh, yeah.
And when your overwhelming desire to have an animal outweighs the fear, then you know you're ready.
I think that is very true. It's always good to be a little bit nervous of something that's very important because it shows that you're taking it seriously.
Exactly, because I think if you go in with it like, yeah.
Okay, dog, I just like carry it around. Like, no.
I'll put it in the basket. You'll have a nice time.
Yeah, I'll get a bird. It'll just be free flying around the house. No.
No, no. Turns out that no.
Very stressful to have.
Thank you so much to Arthur
for writing in and for his
amazing work.
If you have an animal, please tweet us a picture.
Yeah.
At Nobody Panic Pod. Or at Stevie M. The S is a 5.
At Tessa Coates.
I'm experimenting. And
you can email us at nobodypanicpodcast@gmail.com.
You always every week.
Look, I'm coming off the back of the Twitter and I'm feeling loose with it.
Oh, yeah.
Email us at, that's why.
Yes.
Email us at this email address. At
no.
nobodypanicpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah. And
come and follow us on Twitter.
Yeah, like and subscribe. Tell you some friends. Let's spread the podcast love. And good luck if you're looking to get a pet.
We believe in you, but also be very safe.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, you might enjoy our podcast. It's called Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.
We have a podcast and it might be, I probably don't want to sound, like I'm bragging, but it's dynamite. It is electric. It's high voltage. And please, we really need you to listen. You don't understand how much we need this.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. But this one is coming. This one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.